just giving you an idea of some direction we're headed, but we're going to stay right here in Thessalonians. We'll be here for a while. And we are in chapter number 2, and I'm just going to look at two verses tonight. Really, these two verses was part of the scriptures I read last week, so I'll read beginning in verse number 1, and I'll stop at verse number 12. And we're just going to break this verse or two down and just strip it down and just see what Paul is saying, what the Lord is saying, and we're going to apply that to our lives. Amen? Amen. Look at verse number 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but pleasing the Lord, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor of a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. As you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doeth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And I'll stop right there. Let me just remind you a little bit about the backdrop, the setting. It's relatively simple. We know that Paul, when he went to Thessalonica, he preached the gospel. He has made it clear through giving his account of when he came to them and what God did when he got there. And he's made it clear about he came to them, he preached the gospel to them, he preached in the power of the Spirit, his motives was pure, they were Spirit-led, it was gospel-centered, and he went to them and he preached the gospel, and many of them believed and were born again, and the church in Thessalonica formed. And he went on. But we also know that God did it in such a fashion that it just wrecked the whole town. Everybody knew that something was going on. God showed out when he moved in this place. And matter of fact, God's enemies were angry. And so you begin to see spiritual warfare when you go back and read this account in Acts. You see warfare, and of course you see the spiritual warfare. It manifests in people. Many times in religious settings, and that's exactly what it did. In this case, we know that in Thessalonica, it was many Gentiles were born again, but some Jews were as well, and we know that what happens when Christ was preached, that the Jews, many those who practiced Judaism, they did not like it, and they attacked. So that is the context. And so there's been this battle ever since Paul's left. The Judaizers have tried to tear down Paul's ministry and tell them that they shouldn't be believing and following what they are, and they're trying to make Paul look bad, and they're also attacking the church. So they're trying to make Paul's ministry invalid. At the same time, they've even physically persecuted at times the church, and they are trying to shut down what God is doing. How many of you know it didn't work? How many of you know it ain't going to work? Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. Somebody say amen. So Paul is giving that account. Paul is, he's telling them, and he's trying to encourage them in the Lord, because they're relatively new in the faith, and they've got some growing to do. We all got growing to do. And so he's trying to encourage them, and one of the ways he's encouraging them is going back and recalling how God moved incredibly when Paul went to them, and how God flowed through them, how God flowed through Paul. And he's also trying to counter what they're saying against him. They're attacking Paul and saying, this is what Paul is, and this is everything that's wrong with Paul. And so Paul is going back and reminding them of how he came and what God did when he came, and he's tearing down that argument. Now what I'm seeing through this, okay, is I'm seeing a church that Paul ministered to that needed encouraging, that they needed edified, because they needed to grow, because they was dealing with persecution and they was dealing with hard times. And I want to say to you tonight, I look out in front of me and I see a church that needs encouraging, and it needs strengthened, and it needs to grow, because we're living in hard times and there's persecution. Amen? And so this is so relevant when we read it. Now, let me make this remark too as I proceed. Over and over and over, when we're going through Paul's ministry, I keep seeing examples of the church and how she was when God's power was manifesting so greatly during these times. And I keep seeing the church, and I keep seeing through the church of how they loved one another. How Paul loved the church from Philippians to 1 Thessalonians is where we've been for over a year now. And we keep seeing in the scriptures how the church valued one another, how they loved one another, how God flowed through them. And so nearly we are seeing in these epistles the way they felt emotionally, the way they thought mentally, and we see that example of, and what I think God is doing is he is forming us in these last days as the church. He's forming our emotions and how we're supposed to feel for one another. And he's forming our mindsets in church so that we will think properly as Christians when we assemble together. And he's doing that through the examples that we see through the scriptures. Are you with me? I've never before seen the emphasis that I've been seeing in my spirit as I've went through Philippians and 1 Thessalonians of how I'm supposed to love you. I have been greatly challenged and stretched in these areas. And I hope you have been as well. And anyway, we're going right back there tonight in these two verses. So again, I want you to see what Paul is saying about how he interacted with the church and how he ministered to the church. And I believe, even though he's an apostle, I believe his relation and the way he operated among the church is what God is wanting us to do among one another. Whether you are an apostle or not an apostle, I believe that how he flowed is the way that God wants all of us to flow. I want to give you another example in these two verses, okay? Look at verse 11. He says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. If you remember last time we gathered and opened this up, one of the last points I made is you see the relationship. In those 12 verses, Paul, he keeps using these words like a great desire and affection. And he says, I was among you like a nurse that cherisheth her children. I operated among you like a daddy does with his children. And he keeps giving you family examples and uses strong words that indicate his love and passion for the church. Now, he was nobody's daddy in that church, and he was nobody's nurse in that church. None of those was his blood kin, but he's saying spiritually, as the church, there was such a relational flow among one another that he said, I operated among you the way a daddy would with his children. And I operated among you the way a nurse would with children. And I displayed great love and affection. So Paul has made it clear that during this time when God just manifested like dynamite, just exploded spiritually, this gospel, this power of salvation that's transforming, in which the Bible said it turned the world upside down. During that time and what followed, we see there was a family type relationship in the body of faith. And so I'm telling you this, is important, that if we want to flow in this great manifestation of God's glory and His power, we're going to have to be a church that loves one another, and we've got to flow in this family of faith type relationship. We're not just spectators that come in to see and listen, but we are a faith family. Somebody say amen. It's got to be that way. Anything other than that is not the biblical church. It just ain't. It just ain't. They loved each other. And so we see the relationship. Now, I want you to see specifically not just the relationship he had, but how he ministered, what his objective was in his relationship with his brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me say it again. What his objective was as he ministered and operated among his brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is this right here in verse number 11. His objective as he operated among his faith family was to exhort them, number one, to comfort them, number two, and to charge them, number three. Do you see that in the text? Look at verse 11. As you know, look, go back to verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. He said, when we came to you, the way we operated among you, it was in a relationship like a father would his children, and our objective was, is as we were among you in this relationship, that you would be exhorted and comforted and charged. Now, what I'm telling you, I believe that what God wants me to do is I operate in the midst of you as your brother in Christ, as your faith family, that what I should bring to you, I should exhort you, comfort you, and charge you. Amen? Now that I've said that, I believe also that ain't just the leadership's job. I believe what you should bring to the table in the faith family, you also should be exhorting and comforting and charging. That was not just for Paul the apostle. He said, when we came to you, we came and operated as a father would with his children. We were like a father with the children. We exhorted you and we encouraged you and we charged you. That was our objective as your faith family, and that should be your objective as the faith family. So number one, we're to exhort one another. How many of you know that we are to exhort one another? You ain't just to make church about going to find a church that's got a pastor that can exhort you well. Listen, you need to go somewhere where somebody exhorts you well. But I want to tell you something. When you get exhorted well, you need to get ready to exhort somebody else well. It should reciprocate, go back and forth. There's sometimes you're going to need exhorting, and I need to be ready to do it. Sometimes I'm going to need it, and you need to be ready to do it. Because we're family in the faith. Exhort. Let me explain this word. It's parakaleo, okay? Parakaleo. What does it mean? Exhort. What does it mean, parakaleo? Let me read you a few verses right here. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now if you go to verse 26 of John, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And if you flip over to chapter 15 of John and look at verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, why am I reading those verses? Because when Jesus introduces the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, after Jesus would ascend and Holy Ghost would descend, he said he will be the Comforter. He is Holy Ghost. He is Parakletos. Parakletos, okay? Parakletos. What does that mean? To exhort is parakaleo. Holy Ghost is parakletos. The Comforter, parakletos, means to come along beside and aid. That's what it means. He said, I'm going to send you a Comforter. I'm going to send one that's going to come right along beside you and help you. The Holy Ghost. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul says, we came as fathers to a children, and we came exhorting parakaleo. Kaleo is call. Para means to come beside. And so you see what he's saying is when we came to you, it was reciprocating. We were calling to come. We were calling you that we might come beside you, come alongside and help you and aid you. And so just like Holy Spirit, we begin to operate. The Holy Spirit in us begin to cause us to flow in this exhortation, this parakaleo, this calling to come along beside. I'm telling you, church, that is everybody's job in the church. A faith family, what a faith family does is when somebody is in need, that we would come along beside them and help them. We are called to do that. Holy Ghost was sent to come along beside me and help me. And when he is in me, I am called to come along beside you and help you when you need it. And you are called to come along beside me and help me when I need it. To come along beside, not sit at a distance and say, I'm praying for you. No, ain't you glad, Holy Ghost, don't just sit back at a distance and say, keep trying, keep hanging in there. Just try a little harder. Hey, believe a little more over there. Can you hear me? You need to read your Bible. Ain't you glad he don't do you like that? No, he don't do you like that. He comes straight to where you are when you need it the most, and he helps you more than you will ever know. He helps you. He comes to your side every time you need it. There has never been a time as a child of God that Holy Ghost did not come to your side. So don't you think if he's in you, you ought to come along beside some other believer when they need it. That's what it means. Parakaleo. He said, our relationship, we have the type the way a father would a son. How many of you had a daddy that if he was in danger or if he was hurting or you was in need, he had come right to where you are? Anybody ever had a daddy like that? He said, our relationship is I come along beside you and I helped you. Number two, look at verse 11. And you know how we exhorted, come along beside you when you needed it. And then, and comforted. Now this word, comfort, paramuthaamahi. Now again, what does para mean? To come along beside. Mithamahi, what does that mean? That means a soothing speech, a helping word, or a healing word. He said, He said, when we come to you, these Judaizers, they can say what they want about me, Paul says. But you know God is my witness. Read the text. When I come to you, I come to you like a daddy would his child, and I come to you right where you are. I got all up in it. I got right in the middle of it. I hurt with you. I cried with you. I helped you. I was there to help y'all when you needed it. He said, but I also spoke words that soothed you, that helped you, that healed you. I comforted you. That word comfort indicates to comfort with your words. God upholds all things. Jesus Christ upholds all things by the power of his word. He created everything with his word. He is the word that is made flesh that dwells among us. How many of you know God give you a mouth so that you could speak words? You are created in his image and in his likeness. You speak words because he's a speaking God. Now, you ought to use your words to heal people. If God speaks words that contain great power, don't you think if he's inside of you and he's entrusted you with his word, that your words are going to soothe and heal and aid and help and comfort when you speak? I'm telling you, you need to be looking for a brother and sister in the faith that you could speak some kind word to. You know what I learned about the people of God? I've learned this I've listened to preachers at times, and I've made this comment a lot of times. I said, did you see that fella? Did you hear what he said? I could say the same thing and never get that type response. I could say the same thing. If I was trying to get a response by saying the same thing, I wouldn't get it. But when Holy Spirit was moving through him and he said those words, they were powerful and they were effective. I'm telling you that there's times that you can say words that brings healing because God has sent you to go along beside and do it, and a million other people could say the same word in a card or on the phone and it wouldn't work at all. But if you go along beside them and speak soothing words into them when God is leading you, it will bring healing and help in a time of need. Has anybody ever told you something that helped you? Some of your darkest moments when you was hurting the most, somebody said something and they didn't even have a clue how powerful what they said was. Paul said, when we come along you, I come beside you and I helped you and I spoke words. I spoke to you in such a way that made you better, that comforted you. And number three, and I'm about to tie all this together. Hang with me. Comforted and charged every one of you. This word for charge is marturamahi. Okay? Marturamahi. That is this word. And of course, the root word is martyr. What's a martyr? What was a martyr? When we study the martyrs for Christ, what does that mean? It means they were a witness to the point that they died. They died to be a witness. They risked their life to be a witness. Being a witness cost their life, right? They were martyrs. That they testified of the faith and the reality of God, the authenticity of God. They testified to the point of death. Now, he said, when we come along beside you, this word, the root word is martyr. The other word, it carries the idea of to summon a witness or to call forth a witness. Not just any type of witness, but the type of witness, the type of testimony that people would die for. call forth a martyr, to call forth the martyrs. Now, do you see what Paul did? He said, when I saw you, church, I come to you. I saw that you were hurting, and I saw that you were struggling, and I come to where you were, and I helped you. I got right there with you. And then I began to impart healing through the words that God was speaking through me. I spoke to you with words that soothed you and comforted you. And then I called you back forth to the place of a witness in which you would die for what you believed. Remember that they've been persecuted. They've been hurt. Some of them's probably discouraged, and more persecution's coming. So what did Paul do? What was his objective as in the faith family? That he was going to bring healing to them, help and healing, and then once they got there, he was going to call them back forth to where they would be strong in the faith, to the point they would testify unto their death if they had to, that they would be a witness even if it cost their life. And I feel like the church, there's many in the house of God, and that's exactly where they are. There's some people that God is sending us to, but we've been disobedient, that we would go along beside them and help them, and speak to them, and bring healing to them, and strengthen them, and encourage them, and just help them to the point that they can stand as a witness in these last days, to the point that they would die for this gospel. Paul said, I didn't just come to make you feel better. I come so that when I got done, you would stand for Christ, even in the face of peril, even in the face of a sword, that you would still stand and proclaim him boldly. He said, but first you needed some encouragement and healing. And God is wanting to bring us to a place in these last days that we would stand firm, even if we have to die for it. But there's some of us, before we get there, that needs to be strengthened and edified and healed. Do you hear me? And that was Paul and his company. That is how they operated with their brothers and sisters in Christ. My goal for you, as your brother and your sister, is that you would stand in the faith and be a witness of this Jesus to the point that you would give your life for it if you had to. And that should be what you want for me. But if we're going to get there, God is wanting to flow through us to encourage and strengthen and edify one another. Listen, in order for me to get there, I'm going to need your help sometimes. And if you're going to be there, you're going to need my help. Because Holy Spirit, what Parakletos wants to do is flow through us to where we are parakaleo, where we come along beside the way he does us. Do you see what I'm saying? Paul says that's the way it was when we came. Now, again, that we would be a witness and understand this interaction in the church to exhort them, to comfort them, and to charge them. He said, as a father would a son, we came to comfort you, to exhort you, to comfort you, and to charge you, so that you would walk worthy of the God who called you into his kingdom and his glory. That you would walk worthy. The word walk. Peripateo, it means to conduct your life. When he says that you would walk, that you would conduct your life. Are you with me? Worthy. Axios, that you would conduct your life worthy of this God, that you would conduct your life in a way that is fitting with what you say you believe, that you would conduct your life in a way that matches what you say you believe and what God has ordained. Are you hearing me? That you would live your life in a way that lines up with what you say you believe and who God says he is. That's what your life would display. Paul says again, I come to you and I loved you greatly. I come along beside you like a father would a son. I spoke words of healing like a father would a son. And then I called you and I challenged you and charged you to rise up as a great witness for Christ so that you would walk worthy of this God. That was his objective in the faith. Our objective with one another shouldn't just be something as simple as that. Sometimes the goal of some churches is just to get along good enough that things ain't bad. You know what I mean? I've seen churches operate on such that low of a level. There's a lot of church members that don't even have an objection or a vision for one another. A lot of times we're so selfish in our faith that I don't even think about where you are in your faith. I'm just trying to worry about where I am in mine. Right? I'm just trying to attain this holiness, and I'm just trying to attain what God has purposed and planned for me. I really ain't worried about you none, because I'm trying to get there myself. And what you got is a house full of people that's just trying to get there themselves, but ain't getting there themselves. Because what God wanted to do is for us to be a family and me help you get there and you help me get there. Do you see what I'm saying? You should want me to be who God's called me to be. And I should want you to be who God has called you to be. And if I see you're struggling over there in your walk with the Lord or in life, period, I need to come along beside you and try to speak to you and bring healing to you and then encourage you to get back up and stand and be that witness and walk in that calling. And you need to do me the same way, to walk and to live a life that is worthy of this God that has called you, again, kaleo, that's called you, verse 12, that's called you unto his kingdom, unto his kingdom. I'm nearly done. Unto, God has called you unto his kingdom. This word unto is pronounced eis, E-I-S, eis. And it means to reach or to enter. Kingdom, basilia, his rule or his authority. So this God is calling you. He is inviting you. He is summoning you. God has summoned you to reach or enter into his rule and his authority. Do you hear that? I need you to think bigger than I hope I just go to heaven. You need to think today. What God is inviting you is not just heaven. God, right now, he has invited you. An invitation is a privilege, right? Not only is he inviting you, but he is summoning you. He's calling you forth. He is calling you forth to enter into or to reach his government, his rule, and his authority. I want you to be obedient to the summoning, the calling forth of the church to arrive at, to reach, to enter into God's complete rule and authority. You don't need more control of your life. God needs more control of you. You understand? You over here looking at your situation and your life and whatever mess you got to deal with, trying to get it under control. Listen, we need to quit living life in which we're trying to get life under control and understand that I'm not called to get my life under control. What I am called to is to enter into his control, his authority, and his government. Does that make sense? Quit trying to straighten out your life and get everything under control. What you need to strive for is God having complete control of you and having authority over you and having rule over you. Why? Do you... Oh, God. Just look at the verse. Look at that you would walk worthy of a God who is calling you, summoning you to enter into, to arrive at, kingdom, his rule, his government, his authority, and glory. Let me say it like this. The God who would summon Stetton to enter into his rule and authority, if I can enter into that, then I will experience his glory. Look at the way the sentence, the scripture. He is summoning you to enter into his kingdom. He's unto himself, unto the kingdom of himself. If you look at the word, it's a very strange verse, especially if you look at different translations. Look at the original language. The kingdom of himself, his authority, his rule, and then it says, and glory. Now, what I'm telling you is this. That flows chronologically. You got to obey God's summoning in your life. And you need to arrive at, enter into, submit to his rule, his government, his authority, and you'll experience the glory. What you will not do is experience the glory if you're not under his rule and his authority. If you're not entering into his kingdom, entering into his government, rule, and authority, then you're not going to taste the glory. Now, what the church has did in the past, many times we're trying to see the glory, taste the glory, experience the glory, but we don't want to be under his complete authority and rule. And so what you get is a church that likes to fake the glory, pretend like they're in the glory. They've learned the right language of the glory. They've learned the right reaction of the glory because they've seen other people in the glory because they've been in church all their life. They've been in it long enough. They know what to do when you're in the glory. So they're trying to bypass the government and rule and authority of God in their life to get to the glory. And when they get there, it ain't there, and they're faking something that ain't real. And what they should do is just submit to his rule, his authority, and they will experience the glory. Do you see that in the text? But if we're going to get there, you've got to look at how, listen to this, you've got to look at how God is calling you to enter into that authority, how it coincides with the faith family in the church. We are all being summoned the same direction at the same time, and that is unto his authority and rule and government. We are all going the same direction at the same time. But sometimes along the way, I look over at you and see that you're having a hard time, and I got to come along beside and speak the words of God that brings healing to your soul and call you to rise up and keep pressing towards his authority, because if we can get to the authority, we'll taste the glory. And I really believe one day we'll stand before the Lord and he'll wonder why we was trying to go down that narrow path solo and we was neglecting those who was being summoned the same direction, why we didn't come along beside them at the same time we was calling God to come along beside us. You hear what I'm saying? So the complete objective, Paul says, we come to you, the end objective was that they would experience the glory of God. But to experience the glory, they had to arrive at his authority and rule through him summoning them. And how the church would function together relationally, would strengthen one another and edify one another to this journey of arriving at his authority and seeing the glory. Just two verses, but it's loaded, and it's clear, and it needs to be said, and it needs to be heard. You coming along beside and giving a kind word goes a long way towards the kingdom and glory. And the church has been bad about this in the past too. We're too selfish to come along beside, so we sit back at a distance. Hope things get better. Praying for you. We sit back at a distance, except for the part of the charging that's calling them to rise up and get right. Church has been real good at calling them to charging each other and telling each other to get up and get right. And a lot of times it don't work because there was a chronological order that started with not sit back at a distance, I'm praying for you, but come along beside and begin to condition their soul. If you're going to charge them to rise up and be a martyr type witness, if you're going to charge that type of charge, it needs to be prefaced by soothing words of God that strengthens them. Some of them ain't ready for your charge yet. You're giving some people a charge and they're not ready for it yet. They're still at, they need somebody to come along beside. They're still at, they need somebody to speak words of healing and soothing. And you're giving them a charge, and what the charge does is hurt them even more. You ever been in church and seen that? A lot of people tell you how to live holy and tell you ain't when you ain't, but they ain't been real good at coming along beside and carrying the weight with you, putting their arm around you and speaking soothing words that gets them to the place that they can handle the charge. Does this make sense? There is an order. There is an order. There is an order. This is how we flow between one another. This is how we relate. I need a keen eye that sees you when you need somebody to come along beside, and I need to come along beside, and I need to let the Lord speak through me, speak from the Word, speak through from Holy Spirit, and speak these words that soothe, and then we can charge one another on how we need to stand up and seek God and go after Him hard and strive for His image to take full form in our life and charge one another. But first, we got to get with one another. And this is how we carry out the arriving at His authority and rule. That's followed by the glory. Followed by the glory. The glory follows His authority and rule. Amen. Did that really make sense to you? Okay. Let's stand. Let's stand together. Miss Brandy, you play a song. Please, please. You see with this church, what Paul saw, where they were was not near as important as where they were going. But now they couldn't see that at the time. They couldn't see it at the time. All my fear is gone. I need to say this to somebody. Where you are right now is not as important as where you're going. They saw where they were. They saw the Judaizers. They saw the persecution and the hatred. They saw the attack. They were seeing that. They were hearing words against Paul, words against Christianity, the Christ. That's where they were. But Paul comes back in to remind them that where you are, I know it can be a little scary or discouraging, but that's really not even important. But where you're going is. And where you're going is His authority in your life and experiencing the glory. That's where you're going, and that's what's important. Not your haters, not your attackers, not your persecutors, not this season that's really hard right now, not this season that feels bad right now. That's where you are, and that's not even important, because where you're going is what's important. And Paul said, I need you to look at where you're going and not at where you are. He said, but I know you're not in a place to see that, so I got to come along beside you and help you get to that place. Paul knew. They needed that. I'm sure at times Paul needed that. So, listen, church. Let's help our faith family understand that where they are is not as important as where they're going. Let's come along beside them. Let's let God speak through us. If we're going to be Spirit-filled, then let's make sure our works look like the works of Holy Spirit, which is coming along beside. Speaking soothing words that are powerful, that brings healing and strength, and then a charge that brings courage, inspiration to stand for Christ and to submit to His authority, that will cause us to find ourselves in His glory. Father, we praise You tonight. Thank You, Lord, just for sound truth, God. Sound truth, Lord. Thank You, God, for Your word. God, I thank You, Lord, for how just a few words put together, Lord, can have so much meaning. God, that can bring guidance, that can bring encouragement and edification, that strengthens. Lord, I pray, God, that what we've heard tonight, your word, God, not my teaching, but your word, what we've heard tonight, Lord, I pray, God, that we would receive that we would let it, God, these seeds take root in us and begin to grow forth and multiply and bring forth much fruit, Father. Lord, may if anybody that is one of yours walks in this room, God, may they meet a faith family that is quick to come along beside, to speak words of healing and encouragement, and to charge them through inspiration to stand for you, and that we would experience your authority together and then your glory. God, let it be in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let it be so. In Jesus' name, God, grow us and strengthen us and unite us, God, tonight, Father, move in this place for your great glory. In these last days, Father, we thank you, Jesus. Just for a minute, and then we'll dismiss. To leave, just thank you tonight. Submit to him tonight. Everybody, look this way. I love you tonight. God bless you. Let's receive it. Let's go forth, okay? Together. Let's go forth. I expect God to grow us. I believe everybody in this room, where we are spiritually, ain't going to be where we're about to go. God is deep is crying out to deep, and God is, he's summoning us into greater depths of his authority in our lives. You hear me? Which means a greater glory. God is growing us together. Together he's growing us. I want you to expect greater growth spiritually. You need to expect that where I am in 6 months, if he dares is coming, I'm going to be more mature in my faith. I'm going to be deeper in my faith, growing in Christ, growing in the Lord. Not where I am, but somewhere deeper spiritually. That's where we're going, and we're going together. Amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed.